Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out, fire up a grill or a smoker, man. It's still very good weather to put a little meat on the fire. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Is this the Grilling Guys? I've heard of this show, and you know, I've just heard really great things about it. So it's so cool to be here.
He's a master of self-promotion.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. We want to talk about how your appetite and your menu shifts in the cold weather, because I firmly believe they do. My appetite changes totally in the winter compared to the summer.
I want heavier, thicker,
everything.
Comfort food.
Look at the
man,
dark
in the
beers.
Winter. That's
yeah.
where I'm at.
Dark beers, bold red wines, regular Pepsi. Yeah.
Gravy on your pasty.
Cut it out.
Oh, man. Yeah,
so, but, you know, I like to go for the, I mean, this is the time of year when I really, really dig into brisket. Not that I don't do it so much in the summer, but I probably don't. I probably don't do the butts and briskets nearly as much in the summer. I'm more into the brats and the burgers and the steaks and the fish patties and all that stuff. And yep. This time of year, you know, getting those dense pieces on the smoker. If you don't have a smoker, maybe you got a Weber kettle.
Anything that'll burn a little lump charcoal, real big fans of lump charcoal, don't necessarily need any briquettes. If that's all you can get, it'll make heat. But if you've ever cooked on lump charcoal, you not only get heat, you get flavor, and it burns efficiently. You get very little ash, so there's not a lot of cleanup. Need I go on?
And you can, no, you don't.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah. So how do you adjust for cold weather, Jop?
How do I adjust for cold weather? Well, I put a thicker coat on, a little bit of tortoise neck,
yep.
And then I get out there and I get up on the wind side.
You are
of my
kind
grill.
Of a turtleneck guy, aren't you?
I am. I don't have much of a neck. You know, my ears touch my shoulder blades at some
You're
point.
You're sort of turtly.
Yeah, right.
Well. Okay, so adjusting your grill for cold weather. Let's adjust this conversation to make sense.
What I'm going to do is plan on longer cooking times, and I touched on it in the first segment, is the wind is usually your biggest enemy in this time of year, because it tends to howl and blow, and it's a cold wind, and it'll zap the heat out of your grill. So if there's a way for you, and be careful on this, because you can't put it closer to the house. There's a lot of heat that comes off the back of a grill. You just need to create yourself some sort of a natural windshield that you can block that wind from blowing across your grill, because it's going to just suck the heat out of there like crazy. Not that you can't do it if it does, but it's going to take you longer to cook, and you got to adjust your recipes and adjust your technique.
And you could do that with something as simple as a tarp.
Right.
Literally making just a shield with a little small piece of tarp, piece of plywood, something like that, and take it down when you're done so your wife doesn't nag you, because you know how she is.
No, I know how your wife is, and you deserve everything.
Oh,
you deserve
you just
everything
did
she
that.
Gives you.
She doesn't listen to the show, so you're lucky. She's probably laying in bed right now.
She
going,
learned that a long time ago,
you're
too.
You're a jerk.
Yeah, right.
So, okay.
Oh, wait, there's my text. She says, good one, Jop.
Is my grill man enough for the cold?
You know what? Most are. Some aren't.
That's the question. Right. Is your grill... Does it have the BTUs it takes to counterbalance all that negative cold force that's coming at it? Have you, you know, one of the things you can do is move to something like a Sapphire grill or a Kamado grill. You know, an insulated body that's ceramic, and it's, you know, it's 2,000-year-old Chinese style, but modern American technology behind it. So you've got a ceramic, like 1.5-inch thick dome-shaped device that looks like a giant goose egg.
Right.
And, well, probably an ostrich egg, to be technical.
Well, that, and there's oblong ones that are called Primos, and the Sapphire that they helped us out with the GI barbecue.
Yeah.
There's Big Green Egg.
You got a Big Green Egg.
Right.
There's all kinds of them. I have a Sapphire. You have an egg. There's Primo. There's Bubba Grills. There's, you know, all sorts of them. But basically, you're talking about a nice, big, insulated grill, and that's the key in the cold weather, is to have something that will stop you from wasting those precious BTUs, because you're buying lump charcoal, which gives off like 12,000 BTUs per pound versus briquettes, which give off about 8,000 BTUs per pound, and they're largely clay and all kinds of junk in them. So you always want to use lump charcoal, obviously. But so if you're going to buy good charcoal, put it in a good grill that's insulated, you'll never buy another one. And then you can go out in the winter. Like I set that sapphire of mine up the other night. I was making some brats. I had just a little handful of charcoal in there. It got up to about 280 degrees in 15, 20 minutes. The whole thing warmed up inside. The thing chugged along for probably an hour after I was done smoking those brats on a little, just a
handful
no
of charcoal.
Charcoal at all.
Right. So, and they sip charcoal because it's the simplest of concepts, but it's so very efficient. Is you let a little air in the bottom and you let a little air out the top, and you regulate it by hand with a little trap door on the bottom and a little dial on the top if you've not seen one of these. And the airflow through there, it once that thing settles in where it's going to be, it'll hold temperature for a long time. That lump charcoal just it's like embers down there. It's just glowing and moving.
Yep.
And
it's
just providing
so powerful,
even heat.
It's so powerful that you put it inside that nice insulated cocoon, and it controls the environment for combustion properly. And it also, it traps the moisture in. If you'll notice, when you do food on any kind of Kamado cooker, it's so nice and moist when you pull it off. It's just really a great piece of innovation.
It's the first convection oven that was ever invented by man, I think, in that because the heat comes around the side. We usually are doing offset cooking in that we're not directly over the flame. There's something between the flame and the meat that you're cooking, and it's just fantastic. It's a great way to cook in the winter. Now, what you're going to understand about a Kamado cooker is you need time. This isn't something you're going to roll home at 5:30 and have dinner on the table by 7. This is put it on in the morning before you go to work, and your pork butt will be ready when you come home from work.
Well, hold on. It depends on the piece of meat you're putting on it.
Okay,
so
I'll give you that.
If you get home at 5:30, absolutely light a fire up, because in 15 to 20 minutes, you've got a 300-degree baking compartment or a grill, and you can throw some burgers or some steaks on that thing and get a nice smoky flavor. You can get a nice wood flavor on that. So it depends on what you're cooking.
Right. And how you usually use it. And I usually use mine as a
smoker.
You
always keep your plate setter on. You smoke on it a lot.
Right. Yep. That's
so you don't do any charcoal grilling really per se then?
You know, I do once in a while. But like you said, rarely. Most of that piece of equipment for me is a smoker. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to use it for.
Okay. Our Henry rifles are being shipped for Operation GI Barbecue, and they're going to be on display at Allen Bob Sports in Wyoming, Michigan. So if you want a chance to take a look at these donations to GI Barbecue by Henry Repeating Arms, there's going to be a 30-30 in all brass with octagon barrel, and there's going to be a 45-70, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to bid on one of those babies, because I've made my mind up a long time ago. I wanted a Henry, so when they donated them, it was perfect. But Allen Bob's has been kind enough to be the receiving firearms distributor to receive that order for us, and they're going to put them on display, so you can go down and look at those Henrys. They should be in sometime in the next week. So we're going to set up a silent auction with them, and we're going to reveal the details in a couple of weeks, but that's just a really cool aside to what we're doing. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and put any pictures. If you've got a great winter grilling tip, put the pictures on Facebook, because we love looking at all your pictures, and just tag them and let us know what you're doing.
Yeah, I see some of these guys that have made homemade pits and things that you guys are producing some great food, man. Just shoot us a picture. Tell us what you did, how you did it, and be proud of what you're doing, man. It's kind of cool. You know what? Coming up next, we're going to talk about the time it takes to smoke, maybe a little bit of salmon, some wild game you got left, and our friends at the Bonefish Grill are doing something special for Operation GI Barbecue. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Home is in my way. Home will never be.